So welcome back this Tuesday, April 4th, for a second part of our Tuesdays together. And I actually would like to share something with you before we hear Valentina's story about her ear. And what inspires me is this concept from this book, The Code of Authentic Living, Cellular Wisdom, written by Joan C. King, who for 20 years taught as a professor at the Tufts University of Medicine. She taught cell biology. And then she came upon this legend. It was a Hindu legend, which you've heard me say before. The basic concept of which is that talking about the God within. And when I read this Hindu legend, I thought, well, my Christian friends are not going to believe that, because in most churches, it's not considered that the God is within. It's always out there somewhere. But then some of you were here when you heard that I contacted James Shatner, who is the husband of Sage Lewis, and his father was a minister and he knows the Bible really well. And I said, I am certain there's something in the Bible that says that. I am certain it's true. And it is true. And it's in the King James Version, Luke 17, verses 20 and 21, the idea that the God is within you and all around you. Now, the question is, why is that forgotten? And this, exactly what Albert Schweitzer said here, at times our own lights go out. So what are those lights? And it's the light in the cells that is actually measurable, and was measured first by the Max Planck Institute. And I was led to Dr. Fritz Albert Popp by something that, by this synchronicity. And I want to talk about these, have us start thinking about these synchronistic events that change our lives, that inspire us, that affect us. And how I came on to this study of the light within us at the Fritz Albert Popp Institute for International Biophysics was because I chipped a tooth. And you think, how did a chipped tooth lead you to meet Dr. Fritz Albert Popp and do a study with him? And I want to perhaps inspire you, because I'm just going to lead you with this story. So I was at Equitana, right? It's been, oh my goodness, I think it was 2006, approximately, a long time ago. And I give like 2 to 3, sometimes 4 presentations every day for 9 days. And I bit down the first night on a fork and I chipped my front tooth, which is a, it's an implant. Well, I cannot give a presentation with a chipped tooth. So I rushed to a local dentist really close by and he fixed my tooth. And I went home all happy. And the next night I'm at dinner again, it happened to be the same restaurant, and I bite down on an olive and I break it again. Now, that chipped tooth took me back to the same dentist, who said to me, well, Mrs. Dellington Jones, what are you doing here? And I told him about being at Equitana, this world's oldest and largest horse event. And then I taught something called Tellington T-Touch, and I asked him if I could show it to him. And I did like 3 circles, 1 1/4 circles on his shoulder. And he said, oh, That's you're activating the communication between the cells. That's the work of the Max Planck Institute. Like, I freak out. You know, I'm so excited. And I went home and I wrote it in the newsletter. I don't know, Marnie, you might be the only one. Debbie, you might remember it. I don't know who else might remember it, but it was a big event for me. And one of our practitioners read it and she said, oh, and you know, there's actually in Germany, there is this like Fritz Albert Popp Institute. So I put it out to one of my German groups, and one of our practitioners, to my horror, called Dr. Popp and made an appointment for me to meet him. And I say my horror because I was like, who am I? Oh my gosh. I mean, why would he want to speak to me? Blah, blah, blah. I'll talk about all this stuff I went through. And then I said, okay, well, I trust. And I mean, I went with great trepidation the first time. And so I'm telling him my story of T-Touch and told him about the light that I had experienced in the body of a horse, like many years before, the one time, because I don't see light in the cells. I as I said in the presentation recently, I want to develop a form of work that a child can do, and they don't need to know any of this. And so I had remembered that as I was working on this horse, and I came to the area where he'd been hit by the pole, and there was a big bruise on the hip. He didn't want, he started to move away. He was giving me feedback, be careful. This is before T-Touch even. I was just feeling. And so I was careful and I backed away from it and I kind of worked all around it. And then after a while, in a way that I let the horse know he could trust me, I would not hurt him, which is very different than from most therapy. But after I did, this light changed. When the horse lost his fear, the light changed. And I remember that from like, that had to be in maybe 1978. And this was like, I was with Fritz Albert Popp in, I think, 2006. So I said to him, I talked about the light, and because his study was light in the cells for years. And so I just said, may I show you? And I did three little touches, the same like three touches I did on the dentist. And he said, the light in the cells represents the communication between the cells. Now, all of that is interesting, right? But over the years, I started thinking deeper, more deeply. Okay, come on, you all. We now know from, countless examples that we can actually reduce pain or fear in our own bodies or in our animals' bodies. And I think it's more impressive in our own bodies because we really know what happens. So I'm thinking, what is behind this? What does that mean? What is that light in the cells? And how is it that we can, just by describing this, sometimes in a short article, release our own pain or fear? And then finally, after all these years, I came on this book, The Code of Authentic Living. Now, I want to tell you, just I'm going to jump a little ahead and let you know a little key I'm going to tell you. I was invited to go to church in the area that, with a minister who had a really big church before, Baptist Church, and he went to South America and was inspired in some way to experience the feeling that the divine is within the cells. And he came back with great enthusiasm and got kicked out of his church. But he then found another church that believe this. And what I'm now discovering, and I'll bet maybe some of you know this already, apparently it's in every major religion in the world. It's everywhere, this concept that the divine is within, but it's been kicked out. You know, I don't know when it happened. Maybe in the 1400s when the reincarnation is no longer taught in our Christian churches. But nevertheless, the reason I think this is, for me, really important, it allows us to understand how it is that we can release the fear and pain, because thanks to the, it was on Sunday. Many of you were there. Thanks to the further studies that Denise is doing with the science, we know that this 1 1/4 circle is in every, in our DNA. And that 1 1/4 circle is like this, it's like a code for us. And one of the clues I had here is in this second chapter, it's in chapter 1 actually, from this book, the Code of Authentic Living Cellular Wisdom. And that's, I just want to read you a couple of sentences, and then I want us to think about this. So each of the body's 100 trillion cells, some words are smaller. Yeah. Is a dynamic living, each of the bodies. And she says 100 trillion cells. Is a dynamic living entity continuously engaged in an energetic dance of life. The life of a cell is orchestrated from a central command center. It's called in science the nucleus, located at the heart of the cells. Every moment of every day, the genetic information coded into the complex molecules of DNA stored in the nucleus directs the cell's activity. Now, what does that mean to us? And what is this central command center? Now, the thing that is so interesting to me is in all of science, they don't know what's behind that. I mean, the fact that every single cell is a reflection of the entire universe, that's scientifically proven. And so what does it mean when I just imagine that every cell, Sir Charles Sherrington, the thing I was talk about inspired, was totally inspired by when I read his book in 1976. That's what started me on the path of cells and cellular intelligence. It was just a spark. That's it. I didn't know any more than that, but I kept following that spark. And now we discover that this almost, this 1 1/4 circles is actually that form that's in every cell in the body. And the idea that when I actually, it's like turning a key to enter that, like, command center or amazing intelligence in every cell that supports the concept, of just when we recognize that this body is a miracle, then we can activate that or support that incredible intelligence and healing ability in every cell in our body. And if you say, well, how can I believe that? I have a question for you all. Just tell me how you think that we can see. What is that miracle that we can breathe, that all our blood flows? I mean, that all this works. What an amazing command center, this divine consciousness in the entire universe is. So I just wanted to, I've been thinking about this a lot, because this minister on Sunday went on and on in such a beautiful way about talking about that light within and talking about how we influence it. And what he said is that you get a difference in that light every time you choose a positive thought over a negative one. When you choose to think badly or speak badly or gossip, use that word, that's taking the energy down. How I see it, yeah, thanks to Prince Albert Pop and this Joan King, it like diminishes this sense of wonder. And so I've been thinking a lot about, oh my gosh, like I have been moaning like a baby, not like a baby, that's not fair, like I don't know what, about the fact that I don't, when I get up in the morning, I don't have as much energy as I used to have, right? Or that I have if I go out and I'm responsible to do all this stuff that I do. And I was thinking, thanks to this talk about, wait a minute, just by recognizing that light within, I every time I feel I'm not perfect anymore, blah, 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 all this stuff, all I have to do is start thinking about the wow factor, the miracle that I am. And I talked about that, you know, between this really fascinating talk that Denise is on. And one of the things that I have been reading, thanks to Teresa Cotterelli, she turned me on to an incredible other book that talks about the wonders and the oneness. And that is The Song of the Cells. And it's talks about how basically one of the things that really got me is there were two young lab workers, researchers in the same lab in somewhere in Germany, I think it was. And one of them was studying the cells of plants and the other was studying the cells of humans. And what they discovered by sharing is it's exactly the same. And that's this concept of oneness. You know, some of you may remember on Saturday, I mentioned the fact that when I work with an animal or any situation in a person where I don't know what to do, what do I know how I can influence a person with fourth stage cancer? And the concept of just recognizing the wow factor, that each one of us is a miracle, that our animals are miracles, that the plants we have all around us. And then you say, oh, well, how do I know that? No, I go back to this really simple question. How come I can breathe? No, why does my blood flow? What is that command center that no science can explain? And what else can it be but this, divine consciousness? What I read on Saturday was this quote from this little book that I love so much, this Uncommon Prayer book. You know, the concept that everything in the universe is either energy, which is the unseen, or matter, which is anything that looks solid, even though it's not according to quantum physics, but it looks. And the fact that many scientists call this energy and matter, consciousness, the universe, or intelligence, and the rest of the world chooses to call it God or Allah or Source, whatever we want. And when you don't have to know this to be able to release your pain or fear. We've seen this in so many children. Debbie, I remember your kids. Remember when they come up and you go, when that was a knee injury, tell them what your I think it was your son said.
Oh gosh, I have so many stories with my kids. I think Linda's thinking about my son who hurt his knee playing basketball, and I'm going to do my kiss it, make it better thing. And he's like, no, do T-touch. And, you know, it helped his knee to feel better so much faster that pretty soon, you know, other team members are coming. Mom, work on his elbow. He needs to play today. And so the thing I think was the most special about that, not just because I could help my kids when they had an issue, which was wonderful, was also that as they got older, you know, with two boys, you know, they get to an age where it's not cool, right, to have your mom touch you and hang out together and do that kind of thing. And T-Touch really gave us a way to still have that connection and that communication through these circular touches that was just magical. And I will also say that my kids were 7 and 4 when I met Linda, life-changing experience that it was. And of course, this work became not just what I do, but who I am. And so everything with T-Touch and the T-Touch philosophy became part of who I was as a parent. And I cannot possibly tell you how much this added to my life as a mother and the way that we raised our kids. And they turned into amazing, wonderful, happy, successful, compassionate young men. Now, would that have happened anyway? I don't know. But I'm so grateful that we have T-Touch for you and the connections we have, because inviting it in for child raising, I think is just phenomenal. And thank you, Linda, because it's, you know, it's enriched my life so much, not just with my animals, but certainly with my family as well.
And this concept, as I say, we don't need to recognize that command center. But when we do realize that we are miracles, I believe it gives us an opportunity not only to relieve our own pain and fears that we all have, not just ours, but everybody else's at the cellular level, but it gives us, coming back to this one of this thing that this wonderful minister, I'm going to go back on him back and listen on Easter Sunday, because his whole message was, we can make a difference with gratitude when we choose gratitude. And it's just, I would love if any of the rest of you have read inspirations like we just heard from others, because over the centuries, this concept of that gratitude overrides fear, that we can, each of us, make a difference on this planet just by choosing gratitude and realizing it's not necessarily easy at all. It's really easy to fall into when we start to fumble and forget things, and that so many people are doing, not necessarily based on age now. And I'm certain that it's based on stuff in their environment. And I can moan about that or think, oh, I don't have any way of protecting myself against all this. But we do. When we acknowledge the cellular intelligence, the divine intelligence that makes these bodies and our animals function. And I want to think about this. And I wonder if you would like to go into breakout rooms and just share with each other, you know, one thing that brings up for you. For some of you, it may be difficult because it's not in some of the churches that God is within. But I'd like to ask you, what else? And wow, the fact that we can help ourselves and that we can help others just by what we're thinking or feeling, just by sending them positive thoughts. And the cool thing is, we have the left brain concept also of having the techniques. We have the energy and we have the techniques. And so I would you like to share your story, Valentina? And would you all be okay with going into groups and just seeing in these small groups, just what comes up for you? What are the questions? They can be very practical questions. You don't have to have a thought. Or what are your thoughts about the fact that we can release our fear and pain? And some of you may not have been able to do that yet because you've only been here with a fairly short time, but just have a chance to listen. Valentina,
actually what you've been saying about, especially about children and making things simple, brought something up that that sort of supersedes the ear story. Although the ear story seems to be in process out in my pasture, in progress. But first of all, I almost think in an inverse way, when you were trying to simplify your ideas so that children could understand them, for me, something inside said, that was the children gifting Linda with an understanding about simplicity being at the core of all truth. So that the fact that you were kind of going, how can I make this simple enough for children, was kind of like the children's way of going, make it simple enough. And just by thinking how much can you keep simplifying, that's what we're teaching you. That's what the children taught you, Linda. But what made me think about this was someone I studied with years ago, a very interesting person named Rosalind Bruyere. At the time I was studying with her, she was involved with Dr. Valerie Hunt, who was the head of a neurophysiology lab or something at UCLA. They were involved with a 7-year study of mapping the human energy field by studying the colored light that comes off the human body or interpenetrates the human body that some disciplines refer to as the aura. And both Dr. Hunt and Rosalind were in the act of publishing books about this. But why it was interesting to me about children was that when Rosalind herself was a child, she spent a lot of time with her grandmother, who taught her how to harvest plants by first looking at the light that came out of the plant. And that was how you would know when the plant was ready to be harvested. And when Rosalind was, I think, 7 or 8, that beloved grandmother was put in a mental institution because of the concepts about which she spoke. And that so traumatized, I guess would be the word, that was so traumatic for Rosalind that she completely shut down her faculty of seeing light and forgot she even had it, and went the other way and became an electrical engineer. And then her children came to her when they were 7, 8, 9 and started talking to her about seeing colored lights around people and what did it mean and what did the different colors mean. And that made it all right in the act of explaining to them what she knew to be true, that made it all right for her again. And once again, she began to see colored light around people, know how to interpret it, and embark on this study with Valerie Hunt. So I just thought of that as, I don't know that we need to simplify for children so that they can understand. Perhaps we just need to see as children in a simpler way.
Well, some people really, I think, are enriched by knowing some of the logical parts. And what I meant by making it simple for children, you don't have to know anything except touch the skin with whatever part of your hand is easy to do with the lightest 1 1/4 circles. And by the way, look at this book. This is Infinite Mind, The Science of Human Vibration by Valerie B. Hunt. And I've had this book for years. And for those of you who don't know who Rosalind Brewer is, she's one of the most renowned healers of the past. Amazing.
So my ear story, really in a nutshell, is I have two, I call them foreign exchange students. Some friends needed a place to pasture two heifers, so now they're out on my pasture. And I went out to do chores on Sunday, and I saw one of these cows kind of with her head down, and I saw something dark in the grass. And these are just two-year-old girls. And I looked, and lo and behold, she'd had a calf. And neither the people who had this cow, or I, or anybody, I mean, the people who had the cow are cattlemen. I know nothing about bovine husbandry, but they didn't tell me anything. Nobody said this cow is pregnant. This cow just had a calf. And minutes before, it was wet and she was licking the calf and so on. And that was fine. And then I went out and really looked at the other cow and realized that cow is also pregnant. So last night, it was very cold and very windy, and it snowed over here on the western slope of the Rockies. And I was very concerned about the baby, and I was very concerned about the other very pregnant cow, because she seemed uncomfortable, and she was lying down and standing up and moving, and she was not having her baby. And she seemed uncomfortable, and blessed them and went back to bed and came out this morning. And the first thing I noticed was that the cow who has already had her baby, cow number two, Shotzi, has not yet had her baby. Cow number one was licking her ears repeatedly with long tongue strokes. I had never seen either of them do that in the months they've been here. I had never seen them do that, one or the other. But Shotzi was doing ear tea touch via tongue on Pimo was doing ear tea touch on Shotzi's ears to help her be more comfortable. And that's why on the break, I ran out to see if we had any baby calves in the grass yet. Because I really think that's what she's doing, is doing tea touch, ear tea touch on this to help her deliver. Yeah. So I'll report back if there's news.
All right. We'll look forward to it. Kirsten, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Can you put people in groups of four?
How many of three? Okay, so five rooms.
You want three or four? Somebody throw out a number, throw out your hand. Three, okay. Got it. And just see what happens when you think of this subject about the wonder that we are. Just look, share something about that concept of what we're miracles, whatever that comes up for you.
Okay, tell me when you want to start. I will do it automatically. And how long, Linda?
15 minutes.
Okay, so should I start?
Yeah.
Okay.
And somebody write down some of the thoughts. Or just remember them. This is a chance for sharing. Can you read them off, Kirsten?
Why?
Can you all see? Because I don't know that they can. Oh, you're just putting them in. Okay.
They join themselves.
Okay.
And Marnie, you can join room five if you like to.
How do I get an invitation, or how do I do it?
You know what? Let me do it.
Okay.
Okay. And let's pause the recording.
Remember the name.
This meeting is being recorded.
I don't know. It's like bloop, and then you land somewhere.
Right. I think we're supposed to leave the meeting. So
did
nice.
Did you get a notice too that it's another 60 seconds, or how did it show up for you?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
it came up 60 seconds, but I hadn't clicked on anything yet, and then we just appeared back.
Oh, I missed the 60 seconds. I just thought it was time to go.
So it didn't really tell you anything, just kind of the meeting is kind of over?
No, it said 60 seconds.
Okay.
Angela pays attention better than I do. That's what we're finding out.
So who would like to just share something you said or someone else said, just to see where that leads us?
I like something that Harriet said about, she was talking about wraps as a kind of a boundary for the cells when you use them, and that it was a nice boundary. I mean, it was like a hug, and that was very interesting. We talked about this light of the cells as well, but we were just on that vibe. But anyway, so I liked that a lot.
And Megan, it might be interesting for you to just try a really simple cross your heart wrap and see how that is. Like maybe once across your heart and then once around, you know, your pelvis. What do you think? You're going to do it. That's good. So who else? It's taking away something from that. Angela.
It's Angela. I was talking about how much the emotional strains can affect your body. And it was sort of an observation that my back has been really playing up recently, sort of the last few weeks. And I've had two friends that have lost their partner and their mum, and I've been supporting both of them, and I think it's coming out in my back. You know, I'm emotionally being there and supporting them, but I think my cells are saying, actually, you need to be looking after yourself a bit here. And I think I just go sort of helping everyone else, and it's probably telling me you need to stop a minute and take care of yourself so you can be your best you can be at helping others.
Interesting, eh? So have you been using like any of the back stuff for yourself?
Yes. So I've been using the owl and the manatee.
It's so interesting because I don't know if I told you this, but I had so much back pain from a pelvic pain. It wasn't just back, it was like the whole pelvis pain from the leaning over and picking up that horse's foot. And when I could do the T-touch with lots of pressure, I felt really good. There was no pain whatsoever in my whole area, sacrum area. But when I told you, when I went to the front from a two pressure in the front, on a sponge, and it would be really painful. And so I realized that the injury, I think, was to the nerves, actually, is what I could see. And like, I would never have thought to work on my front to reach to the inside of the spine. So that's been really helpful. So, and I always, I mean, whenever I have pain, I find it helpful to use T-Touch. And so I'm grateful for that. And yet I'm forgetting sometimes, except when I come back together with you all, it's really helpful, is to like just look at the light throughout this whole body to give me energy. So that's really made a difference since I decided, stop moaning. Just start detaching and visualizing the vibration in the cells. So
if I may, one of the things that we talked about, Angela, was Megan mentioned that the wraps, we talked about how that maybe helped contain and amplify the light, kind of give it boundaries, and so that it grew within that area. And you might try doing a wrap around your lower back if that's where it's hurting. That's something I've used a lot. I hadn't really thought about in a long time, but yeah, I've done that quite a bit.
It's a great reminder because I haven't even thought to do it. I'm going to do it right now. I can't believe that. Thank you. What else came out of that? Where you go? Anyone? Marnie. Oh, no, Marnie, you have your thumbs up. Good idea about the wraps, right?
And, well, and Anna, I cut you off. So.
We can't hear you, Anna.
Need to unmute, Anna.
I was saying the magic for me oftentimes when I'm doing so much lifting and things for the farmer's market, my back and everything that goes on. What I've learned lately, if I can be in a chair where either I have to put a pad underneath me just to make sure that my knees are really even, you know, with my thighs to my hips, so my knees aren't higher or lower. And then I've been really practicing. I can be around my belly button or I could be at my heart, whatever hand I decide, and then put the other arm behind my back. And so it's usually this part. And then when I make that little circle here, that hand below me moves too. And then I just open up and breathe so softly. And I've been loving, I can't remember what it's called, but when we bring our fingers together and we're working with our auras, I just love that idea. And I know when I fly, I've had to learn now to really take care of myself because the vibration and sometimes the chairs, I really never knew to keep my knees more even with my thighs, to keep my lower back more soft. I'm not trying to say anyone's wrong, but I do know that really that thing about our knees with our thighs and our, you know, hips is really so comforting. Thank you.
Really good idea, Anna. Thank you. To put one hand on your back, and I'm putting the back of mine, of course, the wrist. And then the other hand on the front, and it's a really nice connection with T-Touch with it. Valentina, and then I'm going to lead us. We're going to finish with a body blessing.
Rasio was talking to us about distractions getting in the way of going inward and listening inward. And some of the things that she was working with while she was recovering from surgery. So that was very interesting.
So let's just take a few moments here and close your eyes and let us simply imagine that we're back in our sacred forest and breathe in this beautiful air and feel the sound of the wind in the trees and just the gentle movement of the grass. And imagine that you're barefoot. And you can actually feel a breath of Mother Earth. Oh. Just filling your whole body like a wave coming up through your feet, going through your entire body, all the way up to the top of your head. And then like this wave going out from the shore. Imagine that breath in and that breath out and feel it in your body. And really hold that feeling of the breath of the earth coming up through your feet, your legs, your knees, up through your pelvis, into your whole heart, lungs, going up and out through the top of your body and send it out to the farthest reaches of the universe, that breath, and then reverse it and allow that out breath through pursed lips. And when it comes to your body, just feel like this cascades of light, like it's that waterfall we sometimes stand under, and feel the drops come into your skin on the top of your head, actually, and down your ears and throat and down your neck, and spread it out over your shoulders and then down through your arms. Another breath and take it right down through your beautiful spine. And imagine your whole abdominal area filling gently with beautiful light and water. And take it gently down, down, down your legs, down your ankles, any parts that may have old scars in it. Feel your feet from the heel to the toes. Fill it with water and then just take it right back into the earth and down, 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 down. That mixture of water and energy and release of your feet. And then take one hand over the other and with your eyes closed, just go to any part of your body that may have given you pain or tweaks in the last little while. And thank your body. And just gently, 1/4, very gentle tea touches. I'm doing mine right now with the elephant foot tea touch. Taking in the whole heel of my hand, very gently, however. And give yourself a hug with your one hand over the other on your chest and just go up to your neck and very gently feel your along the top of your very top of your neck. Just take the thumb and very gently slide it. And then come to your heart center and spread your arms carefully out to the sides and just send light down to your fingertips. Like a just a lovely gentle burst of light as your cells fill up and you bring life to the light. And then take it where you want, each one of you, to a part that draws you, so that it's your face or pelvis or some other place that you particularly want to give thanks to. And then just gently stretch your arms out in front of you. Open your hands, take them above your head, and just gently move your hands down off your body and feel the lights through your whole body. Just light up the cells all the way down to the toes, include the heels, the palms of your feet. I'm thinking of my feet right now, and down into the earth. And laugh. And feel how fun that is. And twirl around in your imagination. Let's take a little twirl and reach out to all the beings around us, all the animals who have gathered here to be with us. Now, reach up and just acknowledge this circle of guardian angels above us. And as I did on Saturday, call in a circle of animals all from all over the planet. I call them the Council of All Animals, who are here witnessing us. And then put your hand on your heart chakra, right on your chest, and another 1¼ T-touches and a smile, and open your eyes and look at us all. Thank you all for being here today. And I wish you a very lovely Easter weekend. I'm going to be giving a presentation at 10 o'clock Pacific, just talking about the magic of animals in our lives and our connections, and the magic of tea touch. So if anybody doesn't get those messages, Kirsten, could you just send out, in case people want to join, how they join it? Everybody. Blessings, you all. Happy Easter. And I just love being with you all. Aloha.
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 Bye. Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
Linda, do you want to stay for 2 minutes?
Sure.
For something? Okay.
Oh, wait. I have to stop. I made a mistake. I hit the wrong thing. Stop the recording. Yep.